This episode of the Rookie and the Vet podcast is brought to you by Request Now.
For more information, go to requestnow.io.
Welcome everyone to the Rookie and the Vet podcast. I'm Nick. I got my boy David with me here.
Hey Nick, how you doing, man?
Good, brother. How you been?
I've been good and I'm excited about sharing some information about this episode. What are we going to be doing on this episode?
Yeah, man. So we're going to look back on some of the amazing guests that we've had on the podcast and just look back at some of our best moments.
Let's dive into these highlights from our past guests and stick around because after that, we're going to be sharing some more information about the new direction of the Rookie and the Vet podcast. All right, Nick, so we're going to talk about our first guest here, Dylan Carter. I know he made a big impact on even your career, so let's talk a little bit about Dylan and then we'll hear some highlights from him.
He definitely did, David. And back then, I was a fledgling in business. I still am, but I can tell you and report back happily that I've made so much progress in business since that time, thanks to Dylan's advice that he had given me on that podcast. I'm happy to report that I've had tons of opportunities to work with bands and local gigs here in Jacksonville. And I actually am looking into an opportunity to work with a larger festival here not too far away. So that's really exciting.
Very good, man. I'm glad to hear that that impacted your business and impacted your game plan moving forward. So let's listen to some of the highlights from Dylan Carter.
Yeah, and I think it's a hard balance, right? Because at a certain point, especially in the early days, you're sacrificing. I mean, that's part of it, right?
Absolutely.
And so everybody wants the outcome of being an entrepreneur, right? Yeah. Because it's sexy, it's Instagram, whatever. But the reality is you trade, and this is for most people, you trade working 40 hours a week, making 70 grand a year to work 80 to make minimum wage.
Dude, such a good point. Like the absolute truth. Like you work around the clock, but yep. It's for yourself.
100%. You know what I mean? And it's not easy to do, right? Because yeah. Because you can work all the time, you end up working all the time.
A lot of times what you see on the internet is like the last 3% of that person's journey. And that whole 97%, you don't necessarily always see that because that's not, as you said earlier, that's not the sexy part. That's not the cool part, you know, that everybody wants to really, you know, who wants to sit down and watch all the struggles of somebody? I know I would. Because I think that's what I would really grow from.
And
but
I mean, that's kind of why we're so into Gary Vee, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and you see all these Instagram pages like billionaire lifestyle, you know what I mean? Like all of that stuff. And it's like, oh, entrepreneur, business exclusive, like super rich, flexing all this stuff. And it's like, what about the work? You know what I mean?
Well, so let me touch on that. So I've failed for like the last 10 years, like period, like end of discussion. Like it, I know it's subjective, but like I have. But what I think I've done well and what has led me to, in my opinion, beginning to succeed now, is actually utilizing and executing on the things that people like Gary Vee say, right? Like when Gary Vee says, eat shit for 3 to 5 years, go eat shit for 3 to 5 years. Like go actually do it, right? And it's not sexy. The other night there was a big party and guess who didn't go? Me.
Right.
Because I was working or just recovering, right? So I could be ready for the next day. Yeah. And so a lot of people think I'm very OCD, but it's because I know, and this comes back to like the providing value to people's lives, right? When you're so committed to making somebody else's life better, like you show up differently. Yeah, and I think it's a hard balance, right? Because at a certain point, especially in the early days, you're sacrificing. I mean, that's part of it, right?
Absolutely.
And so everybody wants the outcome of being an entrepreneur, right? Yeah. Because it's sexy, it's Instagram, whatever. But the reality is, you trade, and this is for most people, you trade working 40 hours a week, making 70 grand a year to work 80 to make minimum wage.
Dude, such a good point. Like the absolute truth. Like you work around the clock, but it's for yourself.
100%.
You know what I mean?
And it's not easy to do, right? Because because you can work all the time, you end up working all the time.
And I know we've talked about this before, like a lot of times what young people or what, you know, people maybe fresh out of college or maybe they're still in high school and they're looking like, what's the next step in my life? What's the next journey in my life? And unfortunately, you know, as we've said before, the internet is a great thing for information and resources and so forth, but can also be a very deceiving thing from the standpoint of a lot of times what you see on the internet is like the last 3% of that person's journey, and that whole 97%, you don't necessarily always see that, because that's not, as you said earlier, that's not the sexy part, that's not the cool part, you know, that everybody wants to really, you know, who wants to sit down and watch all the struggles of somebody? I know I would, because I think that's what I would really grow from.
And
but
I mean, that's kind of why we're so into Gary Vee, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and you see all these Instagram pages like billionaire lifestyle, you know what I mean? Like all of that stuff. And it's like, oh, entrepreneur, business exclusive, like super rich, flexing all this stuff. And it's like, what about the work? You know what I mean?
Well, so let me touch on that. So I think I've failed for like the last 10 years, like period, like end of discussion. Like it, I know it's subjective, but like I have. But what I think I've done well and what has led me to, in my opinion, beginning to succeed now, is actually utilizing and executing on the things that people like Gary Vee say, right? Like when Gary Vee says eat shit for 3 to 5 years, go eat shit for 3 to 5 years. Like go actually do it, right? And it's not sexy. The other night there was a big party and guess who didn't go? Me.
Right.
Because I was working or just recovering, right? So I could be ready for the next day. Yeah. And so a lot of people think I'm very OCD, but it's because I know, and this comes back to like the providing value to people's lives, right? When you're so committed to making somebody else's life better, like you show up differently because you have to. There's no other option. And David, me and you talked about this the other night, and I wanted to bring it up, is I still think I'm selfish, but it's the context that matters when I say I'm selfish. So I focus a lot more, and this is something that I don't know why it took me so long to understand or even hear, is I focus so much more on the long-term value, right? So I'm maximizing the long-term value of a customer.
Right.
So what too many people do, and I'll give an example that me and you talked about the other night, too many people focus on the upfront transaction. How do I maximize that? That doesn't matter.
True.
So if you, so as an example, we're in SaaS, that's a subscription-based service, right? It just stands for software as a service. So it's just a subscription-based access to service, right?
Gotcha.
So here's the thing. Here's two examples. One, I'm traditionally selfish in. This is going to be the first one. A user or a potential user comes to me and says, hey, I'm interested. Do you think it's a good fit for me right now? If I don't think it is, and I tell them, you know what? It's probably not, but like you should still sign up because I want that money up front, right?
Right.
And then they sign up. They last for 2 months, and then they churn. Basically, they just stop paying us. I made however much I get paid per month times two. Not a whole lot. But what happens in the second situation where I'm the new kind of selfish, if you will, and I say, you know what, now's not a good time for you, but why don't you come back when your business is at X value, right? It might be revenue, it might be number of SKUs, because we're like in the e-commerce space. Mm-hmm. And they go, okay, cool. Well, one, I was just transparent. I was honest, so they trust me now.
Yeah.
And when they come back in 4, 5, 6 months, and then they stay with me for 3 years, which one did I just win?
Right.
And so if you can align the value and the outcome that a user wants or your customer or client wants with what you want, it gets easy. That's the crazy part here. You can be selfish and get what you want, but you got to understand what you get is a lagging indicator of the value you've provided, period. We spend so much time focusing on like what's the most profitable business model. The business model doesn't matter. What problem are you solving? The business model is a function of how you most effectively solve that problem. It might be software, it might be service, it might be a physical product. But what you have to focus on is what is the problem that I am trying to solve, because that in and of itself aligns the value of an end consumer with what you want. I say this all the time, play chess, not checkers. When you're playing checkers, you're thinking very short term. You're not thinking holistically. You really got to shift from the micro stuff to the macro stuff. What I mean by that is a lot of people want 100% of that size pie. But what they don't realize, if they partner with the right person, the size of the pie increases. And by default, your slice that you know, went from, let's say, 100% to 50% is still worth more than the entire pie that you had before. I think a lot of this does come down to ego. Because I'm the founder, I'm the CEO, all like the stuff we joke around about, right? Like it doesn't matter. And the simple fact is you can call yourself a CEO, a founder, all this stuff, but if you're not providing revenue for a business, it's irrelevant. But the simple, and here's something that I want to talk a lot about, or not a lot, but just like in depth about, is like, I don't think it has to be difficult. And what I mean by that is at any point in time in your business, there's a single lever of growth that if you pull will have the biggest impact on everything.
The next guest we're going to hear from is Mark Burgess. David, I know you've had a long relationship with him.
Yeah, Mark and I have been friends for a very long time. He's a great friend. He's a great DJ out of Orlando, Florida. And during this episode, we discussed the untimely passing of his wife and just how you deal with catastrophic events happening in your personal life, but still having to continue your business.
Let's hear from Mark.
And in 2018, unfortunately, Mark, your wife passed away. And kind of, well, for a lot of us, maybe from sort of the outside looking in, was kind of like a, wait, what? Like when I heard the news, it was like, for me, it was almost, which I can't even imagine, Mark, for you, and I'm sure you'll address this, but for me, it was kind of like that time stopped, like, what are you talking about? Feeling. No, there's no way, kind of a deal. And so, again, this is such a sensitive topic probably for all of us, but I'd love to just kind of hear, you know, a little bit about your experience, Mark, with it. And then as we move into the podcast, maybe talking a little bit more about where you're at in life and business now, you know?
Okay. Just to give everyone a quick background on how quickly things happened in my life. On March 17th, 2017, my wife got the diagnosis of a stage 4 breast cancer, and we learned a lot about breast cancer at that point. There's many different forms. She had one of the deadliest ones, and stage 4 means it's already metastasized to other areas of the body. So we had a decision to make, and we, interestingly enough, had conversations about our own healthcare even before any diagnosis. And we both had decided that should we get a cancer diagnosis, we were not interested in being sick through our illness. And so we opted not to do chemo or radiation. Again, the chances of it working on her being as advanced as it was with her was going to be slim to none. So why be sick? Robin was a huge Tim McGraw fan. And we made the decision to literally live like you're dying every day. Just live like it's going to be your last. People said to me after she passed, I didn't even know she was sick.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you know, to me, Robin was the quintessential, like, life of the party, fun, just, you know, perfect person, really.
Yeah, if you met her, she was your friend. It was crazy how my friends became her friends became my friends. It was never, you know, these are your friends, these are my friends. From our very first date, it's been like that. It's been an amazing ride. We went to Mexico. We were there for 3 weeks. I didn't have to worry about any bills. It was all covered. My staff knew what was going on. They knew how to reach me if they needed to, but they all stepped up. If they had problems, they solved it with themselves. And that comes from just building a great team.
Yeah, and I think that's an important lesson in itself, just to learn as you're building your business and as you're thinking through your business plan, is coming up with that, not necessarily plan B, but maybe more so that support system, coming up with that support system so that it's almost like having insurance for your car, if you know, having insurance for your health, you know, just having that plan in place so that at the off chance, you all of a sudden either for good or bad reasons, all of a sudden have to be removed from your business where you're so heavily involved in your business that your business doesn't suffer, hopefully at all, if not minimal, in that situation.
Really, the only time you knew she was sick was in her final 2 weeks. That's the only time she actually showed it. And even the day I took her to the ER, I fully expected her to come home. And then the next day she was gone. So that was truly devastating. And then that's where the catastrophe struck in my life and my business. Obviously, you're numb. You can't think. You are depressed, extremely depressed. You know, and everybody says, I'm there for you, whatever you need. And that's true for a period of time. But then they go back to their lives and you're here by yourself with your cats and your dog. I hadn't been out working on the business. I haven't been marketing. I haven't been promoting. So after Robin had passed, I withdrew. And what happens when you stop marketing and promoting your business, it kind of disappears.
Starts declining.
So she passed on June 11th, 2018, and now we're in September of 2019, and I'm really starting from scratch. But I would not still be in this house. I would not still have my lights on if we didn't plan ahead. And that was a big part of our business plan as well as life plan. And that was to make sure we recovered in case of catastrophes like this with life insurance. And if you don't have a good life insurance rep, get one. If you need a referral, contact me. I've got an amazing one. And now I'm ready to get back out there and rebuild almost from zero. So I look at this as my chapter two coming up. Chapter one was an incredible time. We were doing extremely well. The nice thing is if you've done it once, you can do it again. The big difference is now I'm doing it by myself, but I've proven it can be done.
So next up, we're going to be hearing from Dominic Perrone. And I know, Nick, he made a big impact on you, much like Dylan did.
Yeah, he definitely did, David. Dominic had some incredible information about Facebook marketing. If you guys haven't checked out ManyChat, please go back and check out those episodes. Really awesome information. Dominic's a great dude for sure.
So let's jump into some of the highlights from Dominic Perrone.
I think that if you master marketing and you master sales, those two skills, you can really master anything.
What is the difference between marketing and sales from your viewpoint?
Good question. I really look at marketing as, first of all, grabbing somebody's attention and then educating them, entertaining them, empowering them, right? So sales is going to kind of get them to take the next step to empower them towards, you know, buying your product, buying your service, transforming whatever area of pain that they're having. But in my opinion, I feel like marketing is, first of all, you got to grab their attention. If you don't do that, there's nothing else is going to happen. You have to, you know, you have to really understand them. So I think that's also a part of marketing, is understanding your audience, surveying your audience, asking them questions, getting in touch with them to know what they need and want, and then delivering it, right? And I feel like where a lot of marketing strategies fall down is they don't put as much emphasis on education as possible. At any one time, only 3% of people are ready to buy your product or service, which means, and that's where most businesses focus their attention, is on that 3%. And that's good, but that's also a massive mistake if you're not focusing on the other 97%, right? So that's where I feel like that's where education has to take place, right? Helping guide those people so that when they're ready to buy, then they know that you are the expert, you are the educational resource, you are the guy that can solve their problems.
One of the things that we talked about in the podcast with Dylan was understanding your audience. I know Dominic just touched on that, understanding who you're marketing to, instead of, for me personally, like just offering a service and saying, oh, your problem, like, oh, this is this band's, like in the previous podcast, we talked about bands. So this is this band's problem. Like, no, you need to kind of understand your audience first before you kind of go decide what to deliver, if that makes any sense.
Definitely. So, and one of my favorite things to do, absolutely, and I'll teach you guys, we'll dive into more of this, but using surveys, right? Even if you have to, like, one thing I like to do is grab a bunch of leads from brides, right? So that's one of the areas of marketing that me and my company focus on is wedding marketing. And we'll just blatantly give a bride, you know, a $5 Starbucks gift card to just please answer these survey questions, right? Mm-hmm. And I love to ask them, what's your number one challenge with planning your wedding? What's your number one fear with planning your wedding? What's your number one goal, dream, hope, and desire for your wedding? When you start getting this information, this is very enlightening, right? And sometimes it doesn't even dawn on you what it is, because first of all, we're all guys, right? And women just have a different way of thinking, right? So it's actually, you need to survey because you need to understand your customer and what they're going through, right? And so for me, it was actually very enlightening. So obviously brides have a fear of it raining on their day, but also making everybody happy. That's actually a big concern that comes up that I didn't even really think about, you know, like making the parents of the groom happy, making the parents of the bride happy, doing this, doing that. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So every time I get some sort of survey information like that, I like to make a video like, okay, here's how I'm going to help you overcome that. Or I'll make an ad that's based on that pain point, right? So I'll say something like in one of my social media marketing ads, you've got so much to worry about. You have to make people happy. You're worried if it's going to rain or not. RSVPs and guest lists is another huge area of stress for them. So I put that, right? If you understand your customer in your marketing messages, that's probably one of the most effective things that you could possibly do to get them to know, like, and trust you and want to do business with you. If you understand them, they are going to want to do business with you. Some of the big mistakes I see people making, first of all, I've made every mistake in the book. So if you're making these mistakes, don't worry, it happens, okay? So one of the big things that I see is, and this is, let's just take the DJ niche, for example, right? So a lot of guys, when I go onto their websites, the first thing that I see is that they say something like, we are the premier entertainers in this area. We're the number one blankety blanks in blankety blank area. Maybe there was a time and a place where this worked back in the day, but it's just very boring, to be honest. And everybody says that. If you just go through your competition's websites in your area, you're going to see a lot of that, right? And what you need to understand, and there's a great book, it's called Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller, I believe is the guy's name. Read this book. It's really good on understanding that you are not the hero in your story. Every day we wake up and we are the heroes in our own journey, right? We're thinking about, okay, I got to eat today. I got to get this thing done today. I got to make this sale. I got to run this business, right? We are the heroes in our own story. The thing that you need to realize in your marketing, you need to be like the Yoda. You need to be the person who helps the hero along to achieve their goal, to undertake their transformation, to achieve the happy ending. In this case, it is a wedding that, you know, you brought to life. It's exactly their vision. Their friends and families had a great time. They had a blast. Everybody's talking about it the day after, or for weeks to come, and like that, right? So you have to understand, you are Yoda. The bride and groom are Luke Skywalker and Leia, right? You need to help them by guiding them to the promised land, if you will, right? So I think that was a very transformative kind of shift in my thinking, is become the guide. It's way easier to be the guide than it is to be the hero, right? If you are just starting out in the DJ business, that's cool, right? You don't have to have a bajillion reviews, right? Just become the guide and help people out solving problems, right? That's what they need help with. I actually love the wedding DJ niche and the home building niches as an example, because these are massive purchases, right? When you're hiring a home builder, that is a massive, massive purchase. You need to trust somebody with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of your money. With your wedding, you need to hire somebody that you absolutely trust that's going to pull the thing off flawlessly, right? So these are actually great examples of where you must be educating and positioning yourself as the expert, the guide, before they will hire you, right? Because again, massive purchases. But yeah, anytime you have experience, I mean, that absolutely helps too, right? But the more that you can offer solutions to their problems by understanding what their problems are, the more they are going to love you, you know? So just like a quick example of this is for the wedding DJ business, you know, we recently did some surveying and found out that brides have all these problems, right? They have a little time and they have a lot of things to do in a very short amount of time. And what kept coming up is that they loved our online planning form, right? Because it made things so easy. They could just go through and they didn't have to like do all this research and things like that. And so what I did is I took that online planning form and I made a little cheat sheet to help brides and grooms actually go through. And for every ceremony and reception song, just give them some suggestions, right? And link them to a Spotify playlist. And now this is becoming one of our hottest lead magnets, where we offer that for free in exchange for some sort of email or some sort of, you know, some sort of exchange, so that we have the ability to contact them later on. But I wouldn't have been able to develop something like that had I not understood their problems in the first place to make their lives easier. Let's talk about Apple for a second. They could easily say, we are the number one smartphone manufacturers in the world, right? And that would be true, but that's not sexy. That's not what they market, right? Mm-hmm. What they market is that we build products, tools, electronic devices that help you change the world. It's actually a perfect example of how they are the Yodas. They mm-hmm. give us an iPad, a nice shiny iPhone, a MacBook, and we're going to do revolutionary things with it, right? It's actually very powerful marketing and is part of the reason why they're a $1 trillion company. because they could easily say we're the number one computer manufacturers in, you know, in the world, and they don't do that.
Maybe talk about a little bit how you would establish trust with your, and kind of create that connection before the service is even provided. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So my big thing is you got to generate leads for as low cost as humanly possible, right? And you're going to do that by delivering valuable things, right? So different lead magnets. And what I mean by a lead magnet is something that's going to compel them to give you their email address at least. Right. So now another thing that we're experimenting with, and this is another example of a lead magnet, is, and man, I could do a whole episode on this, but it's quizzes, using quizzes to help a bride and groom figure out their first dance song, to help them figure out their perfect walk down the aisle song, to help them do this. We're actually having a ton of success with this. A lot of people are clicking on it. They're giving us their information, starting a conversation. And not only are they giving us emails, but we're also going to be able to chat with them on the messaging platforms that are becoming very, very popular. That's another example of a way to build trust. Another example is to just have blogs, right? I actually suggest people write a blog a week, right? And if you can't do a week, okay, fine. Every other week. Once you create that blog article, and it could be 300 to 500 words, right? Not very long. Once you have that blog article, you actually have a video script, right? So now you've got a basic video script, and now you can go ahead and record a video if you want. Or if you don't like writing, go ahead and record the video, send it off to a service like rev.com. They'll transcribe it for you and then just turn it into a blog, right? So you have to be smart with your time too, because all this stuff can be very time consuming. I feel like the best way to do it actually is to record a video, right? Cover five tips to have the perfect wedding ceremony. Five money murdering mistakes that home buyers make when they're hiring a home builder. You know, something that's shocking is going to get clicked on. I'm sorry to say, you have to be a little bit clickbaity. Just make sure it's actually valuable information that you're giving them. You know, first you got to understand the customer, understand their pain points. Then you start making content to actually solve those problems and show them that you have solutions and are guiding them. And then that's how you're going to build the trust the best.
Thank you for listening to part one of the highlights from the Rookie and the Vet podcast. Be sure to go back and listen to the full episodes of all of our guests. And join us for part two and part three of the highlights from our guest on the Rookie and the Vet podcast. Thank you very much for listening.